Hi everybody, this is Joni Culver in Brandon, Florida. I wanted to do a career podcast to add to Larry's growing collection of podcasts at BCT. This is my first podcast. I'm using a DS2 Olympus digital recorder with a T-shaped Sony DS70P microphone. I've been working as a medical transcriptionist for the past 31 years. I got my first job in 1975, and I worked at a 100-bed hospital on a Selectric typewriter, and I was basically the only transcriptionist in that small medical records department. Today, I work for a transcription service on an internet-based platform. This company employs 10,000 people. I work from my home. I work for three accounts: hospital in Nashville, Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee, and Louisville, Kentucky. I live in Florida, and my two bosses live in Louisville, Kentucky, and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I've never met either one of them. So what I want to do now is to tell you how I got from there to here. When I graduated from high school in 1974 in Tampa, Florida, I really had no great desire to go to college because I didn't have any career aspirations that required a college degree. What I really wanted to do was to get an apartment with a high school friend of mine and learn some sort of skill to earn a paycheck. So I decided to enroll in Hillsborough Community College in a one-year program to learn medical transcription. And I took classes in anatomy and physiology, medical terminology, some electives, and some classes where we actually sat there and listened to dictation and typed it. Now, while I was in this class in the spring of 75, I had the good fortune of meeting a lady named Mary Ballard who happened to be the director of a medical records department for a small local hospital. And amazingly, she offered me a job at that hospital without any experience, without a job interview. And this was an amazing thing then, and even more amazing when I look back on it, that I would have such good fortune to begin my career. I worked at this hospital for about 6 years. And the doctors who dictated at this hospital probably, and I'm not exaggerating, 98% of them were ESL or English as a second language dictators. So I had baptism by fire as far as learning to type doctors with accents. And to this day, I don't mind accents as much as I do doctors who dictate to rapidly and clip off half the words, and you spend 5 or 10 minutes trying to understand a simple English word just because they pronounce it so poorly. I left this job in December of 1981 because I got married and my husband Skip was working as a budget analyst for Lee County in Fort Myers, Florida. So I moved to Fort Myers, which was, 100+ miles south of Tampa. And there I, this was the first time, of course, that I was without a job, and I was faced with an appetizing prospect of having to go to my first job interview after having worked for 6 years at the previous hospital. And this was an intimidating prospect for me, so it took me a while to muster my courage, and I finally did go in for an interview. It was a 500-bed hospital, and I got the job. I had to work second shift to begin with, but I did get the job, and I worked there for about 3 years, and we used Selectric typewriters again. Still weren't into the computer age yet, in the early 80s, and I gained a wider experience with more specialties in a larger hospital. In the spring of 1985, my husband and I embarked on what I call our daring youthful adventure. We wanted more opportunity as far as job prospects. And so we decided to choose a city based on various criteria that were important to us and just look for jobs there. And whoever got the job first, we would just move there and see what happened. I wouldn't want to do something like this now, but at that age, it was kind of fun and a bit of a challenge to see what we could do in a new city. So we started getting the Sunday paper and looking at the want ads, and I got called for an interview at a large 500-bed teaching hospital in Nashville. And the interview went well. I had a really good rapport with Carolyn, the lady who interviewed me. And we spent several weeks waiting for a decision, and I finally found out I had the job, so we moved to Nashville. We didn't know anybody in town, but we landed in a great location. We rented an apartment right next door to the hospital. On the other side of the apartment, there was a grocery store, and the bus line was right out front in front of the hospital. So these are all things that we have looked for in places that we've lived. Public transit access, because my husband is legally blind and neither one of us drive. And previously, it mattered to us if our apartment or house was close to where we worked. But that doesn't matter anymore because my husband's retired and I work from home. And we've always wanted to be close to a grocery store for obvious reasons that don't require explanation. So we've always, to this point, been fairly fortunate in finding great locations to live. So I worked at that hospital for 20 years, and I really planned to retire there, but fate had something else in mind for me. Throughout the 20 years that I worked at this hospital, we started out working on dummy terminals, and then we progressed to PCs, and I learned JAWS for DOS, JAWS for Windows, WordPerfect 5.1, Word 97, and Word 2000. Now, at one point in the 90s, I was doing a little bit of work from home for a psychiatric facility, filling in for a friend of mine. And this experience really whet my appetite for working from home because it had so many obvious advantages, not having to worry about the weather, not having to worry about getting to work, a much quieter, peaceful environment in which I could concentrate, because in the office it was a little wild, phones ringing off the hooks and people talking and coming and going, and I don't miss office politics either, I might add. I can't imagine working in an office again, but that's just my personal preference. Some people probably prefer more face-to-face contact. At any rate, I kept requesting that they allow people to work from home. And I was persistent for a good many years, and finally, they did decide to try a work-at-home program. And I was the first one to get to go home, which I guess proves that adage about the squeaky wheel getting the grease. And I'm generally not much of a squeaky wheel, but I really did want to work from home. So I worked from home. I can't remember now when I did begin doing that, but it was in the mid-90s, the second half of the 90s at some point. And I was happily working from home, and they were sending more and more people home to work. And I was working in at that point in, well, at the end, I was working in Word 2000 and sending my work in via PC Anywhere. So it was working out great from everybody's point of view. And I planned to retire from the hospital and was perfectly happy working there. Well, back in April of 2005, we were all called into a meeting and we were told that transcription was going to be outsourced to a company called MedQuest, and we would no longer be working for the hospital. We would be offered jobs from MedQuest. And I think a large part of the reason, of course, I'm not privy to the discussions that go on with the financial people at the hospital, but they did need a new dictation system, which is quite an expensive outlay, and in order to avoid the huge capital budget outlay for new dictation equipment, they decided to sign on with this program with MedQuest. This seems to be oftentimes when transcription is outsourced, when there's the need for an expensive new dictation system. I also didn't know, I had feared outsourcing for a good many years, but I also didn't know that the dictation system we used, the company had been bought by MedQuest, so had I known that, maybe this wouldn't have been such a big surprise to me. Well, I was very upset at the news. I was angry, and to add insult to injury, we found out that we were not getting any severance pay, not 1 cent of severance pay for 20 years of service. I really wasn't happy with the way the hospital handled things, but I don't know how they could have handled it any better. When you're outsourcing somebody, I guess there's no kind and gentle way to do it. You just do it. But it was a very sad end to a 20-year career, and it leaves me with kind of a negative feeling when I think back on it, and I don't like for that to be the case, but that's how it is. Everybody had different reactions to the news. Some of my coworkers decided just to work for MedQuest, whatever the offer was, and some of us decided to check out local options. So we went to some local services that were smaller, only employed about 150 people, and had to write our resumes, and that was kind of hard to do because I hadn't done it in 20 years. But seeing it all down on paper was kind of gratifying. I felt like I had a lot to offer a company with my experience over the years. With each job I had, my experience had grown and become fairly broad. I've typed in almost every specialty I can think of except for radiology and pathology. And I'm not what I would call a reflexive optimist. I tend to spend an inordinate amount of time in the acceptance phase when I'm faced with a difficult situation like this one. But I have finally, and this is a year later, reached the point that I can see the good and focus on that came out of this rather than focusing on how I was wronged by this hospital that I spent so many years working for. So I think that's tremendous progress. And it may be true that when one door closes, another one opens, but I sure did not want to hear that at the time because, as I say, I just don't react to things like that with such a optimistic outlook. I have to work through a lot of emotions to get to the point that I can say, yes, you know, maybe that's true. I have to really believe it, not just say the words, I guess. At any rate, the things that I did to make that decision about what to do, we had about a month to commit to MedQuest or not, and we didn't even get the offer from them until several weeks after, maybe a month after the meeting, so we didn't really know what our offer would be. Another reaction I had, actually, which is kind of surprising after working in this field for 30 years, but I actually had a real fear of failure, which scared me because I didn't want to end my career falling flat on my face, not being able to measure up and do the job. And the reason I had this fear, mainly, is because all of these, the vast majority of these companies pay strictly based on production, and they base their pay rate on how many lines you type. Now, that can be measured in a lot of different ways. some people count spaces and some people don't. Some people count 65 lines or 65 characters as a line, and they don't include spaces, which means you're typing a lot more than you would if they were including spaces, obviously. I had never had the number of lines I typed measured in any way. We had been paid at the hospital based on how many minutes of dictation we typed. So I had no, it was like comparing apples and oranges, really. I had no way of knowing truly how many lines I was capable of producing. So it was very hard for me to gauge what kind of salary I'd be able to make, no matter what offer they gave me. And they pay you cents per line. I'm not going to get into the pay scale too heavily because honestly, I might not give correct information about the ranges. I know I have an idea in my mind what the ranges are for people with and without experience, but I don't want to give out incorrect information. So my coworkers and I visited these local transcription services. Each service, and by the way, used a different platform for their transcription. And a lot of them were proprietary platforms which were created by people working for the company. So there was no way to know ahead of time how well any screen reader, JAWS or Window Eyes or HAL or anything, would work with these platforms, which was something else that I felt very insecure about. I did visit a website called mtjobs.com, and they have a lot of jobs listed there. I applied for some jobs there, and I took an online test with one company and filled out their application, and actually the recruiter called, and several days later she did offer me a job, which there again was gratifying because this all made me feel like I had some options, and it made me feel less like a pawn on a chessboard that people were moving around to suit their needs. I felt like I had more control in the decision as far as what I actually did, which was a good thing for me psychologically. Another group I turned to is SightlessMT at yahoogroups.com, an email discussion list of visually impaired medical transcriptionists. And there are people on that list that are, who are attending schools, many of them online, not all. There are people who have their first job, and there are people who have years and years of experience, so there's quite a wide range. And the things that they helped me with, maybe this was some of the biggest help of all, they pointed out to me that with a service, if you type a familiar account, it's going to help you tremendously with your production, and since your pay is based on production, that's an important thing. And so I might be feeling like I don't want to type another minute of dictation for this hospital, but if I walk away from MedQuist because of my anger at the hospital, who's really going to be hurt? The hospital's still going to have their dictation typed, and I'm going to be struggling trying to learn a new account. So this made a lot of sense to me. And another thing that helped is that I actually met the lady who does training of blind transcriptionists for MedQuist on this email list. And she's really a sweet person, a very patient, wonderful teacher. And she said that their platform, which is called DocuScribe, or DQS for short, was very compatible with JAWS, and that if I took the job, she would be giving me my training over the phone. So all of this made me feel more like I should probably give MedQuist a try. I didn't make my decision until the last minute, the night before the deadline. I signed the paper and sent it out FedEx overnight, and decided to go to work for MedQuist. Figured if it didn't work out, I could always try some of the other options later. So I got a computer from MedQuist in the mail with JAWS installed, and Nancy and I did our training. And I have to say, this is the first time I've ever gotten a computer already configured for a screen reader. from a company I worked for and been trained by someone who is familiar with assistive technology. So these are two big plus marks I have to give MedQuist. So I started working for the company in June of 2005. We're paid based on our line count. Full-time employees have to type 150 lines an hour or 1,200 lines a day at minimum. If you type above that, you get incentive pay. Part-time employees have to type 100 lines an hour. Now, working for this company, you're not an independent contractor. You're a full employee, full or part-time. You get benefits, and you have to work a set schedule. You can't work when you feel like working. You have to work a set schedule, and you have to meet your production. So I work Monday through Friday, working one Saturday a month, and I work 4 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and I like those hours for a couple of reasons. One is that it's kind of nice to have your workday halfway through at about 8:15 in the morning. You get off work and you have all afternoon to goof off, read, listen to podcasts, which I've been known to do, go to appointments or anything else you need to get done. And I've been working this schedule for quite a number of years. That's what I worked at the hospital, so I'm kind of spoiled by it. Also, I get extra pay for the work I complete between 4 and 6 in the morning. It's called night hours, and I get a whole extra penny for every line I type. And that might not sound like much, but it adds up to quite a nice little amount in a pay period. You have to punch a time clock even working for this company, working from home. You go to a website and have to hit a time stamp when you clock in the morning, out for lunch, back in from lunch, and at the end of the day. And you can view your time card online and make sure that everything's adding up there. You can view your line production every day or every pay period. Any different number of criteria can be used to see how many lines you're producing every day. So you can keep track of that, and it's all very accessible with JAWS, so it's great. It really feels like for the first time in my life I'm on the same playing field as my coworkers, because always before I felt like I was working, I would work in WordPerfect and they would work in another program and my work would have to be imported into the system. But now I'm doing everything just like everybody else is, and I like that. Finally. You have to really focus on the work to work from home, because it's very easy to get distracted and not apply yourself as much as you might. In fact, I'm having to kind of regroup at this point and try to focus a little harder, avoid the email temptation during the day, because my line count has been kind of a little bit less than I want it to be a good bit of this year, because we've been moving and a lot of changes have been taking place, and it's been a lot harder to focus, even for me, and I think I have a pretty good ability to do that, generally speaking. But I'm having to try to really work hard at that now, because I want my line count to be up, because I want to get the incentive, and it's sort of a challenge to see what you can do. Let's see. I wanted to tell you what I use to get my job done every day. I use CD reference books from Stedman's at stedmans.com, S-T-E-D-M-A-N-S. I have the medical dictionary, a drug book, and a surgical instrument book. They have books on all different specialties, and they're very accessible with screen reader, very easy to read. And it's great to finally have access to reference books, which until they were electronic, of course, I didn't have access to the print ones. I use Google extensively, because no matter how many reference books you have, there are going to be some things that you aren't going to find in them. And also with typing unfamiliar accounts, which everybody has to do to some extent because you have a main account and then you have two backup accounts, generally speaking, there are going to be things that you aren't going to be able to find in any reference book, because they're going to talk about local facilities, doctors, places where patients work that you've never heard of and you have no idea how to spell. And the only way you're going to have any chance of finding them is by good search skills on Google or whatever search engine you prefer. So I'd be lost without Google. Also, the MT email list that I subscribe to, it's like my virtual office. We help each other, we give each other advice, and help each other try to figure out what a doctor's saying by saying what it sounds like. We vent to each other when we have bad days and bad dictation. We help each other share our expansion ideas for shortcuts, which I'll get into in just a minute. So it's like my virtual office, and it helps to prevent you from feeling so isolated, because it's when you're typing in a situation like this, it's really easy to feel quite isolated from the company and management and everything, and it's nice to have a virtual office to turn to like that. Now, I mentioned the expansions, and they're similar to autocorrect in Word, if you've ever used those. It's a way of typing a good bit of what you type in shorthand, so you have fewer keystrokes, and yet you still get credit for everything that the expansions produce. Now, I have about 4,000 of them that I've created, and I know a girl on the Sightless MT list has 6,000, and a girl I work with, who used to work at the hospital, has 15,000. So I don't think I'll ever have that many, but I add new ones just about every day when I come up with an idea. You have to be real careful with them, because you can get tripped up very badly if you forget about an expansion you have and you don't expect the term to come up. Like, I had REM for an expansion for remarkable to begin with, but then I started typing sleep studies and they were talking about REM sleep, and I had a lot of remarkable sleep, which is not going to work. So I had to change my expansion for remarkable to REMA. But you can type an entire report practically if it's fairly similar every time. You can correct your habitual typos, like T-E-H, just automatically make it type T-H-E. It's just really handy. And it's another thing that's a bit of a challenge to see what you can come up with, how few keystrokes you can use to actually get the words down in the report. Some of the negative things that I don't care too much about with working for this company, and probably any transcription company would be the same, is they have a very strict turnaround time. The time when the dictation is dictated and it's returned to the hospital, they promise the hospital's very fast turnaround time. And what happens is that your main account's going to get caught up, and then you're going to end up typing the secondary accounts. And I have typed quite a few secondary accounts, which is, there's always a learning curve with any new account. So the more accounts you end up typing, the more your production is slowed down, and I find that rather frustrating sometimes. So I haven't been real happy about that, but maybe the accounts I have now will stick for a while. I've typed for hospitals in Barrington, Illinois, and an urgent care center in Wisconsin. Hospitals in Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, Maryland are the ones I can think of at this point. Hopefully the accounts I have now will stay the same for a while. Each account you have has a client profile. They want things done in a different way. Some of them don't want you to use the patient's name in the report. Some of them want allergies typed in all caps. Some don't. Some want list numbered. Some don't. The demographic screen, which is where all of the patient information and the medical record number and the type of report it is, comes up. This information is keyed in by the dictator, and each facility or each client is different, so you have to pay a lot of close attention about what you are and aren't supposed to do. And this, to me, is the most confusing part and the hardest part to really get down pat with any account because it's different with each account. Also, feedback is unpredictable. You may get feedback and you may not get feedback, and it just depends on the person who's reviewing your reports. And if you find a good QA or quality assurance person who gives you feedback, you better believe they're going into my address book, because they are very valuable. So those are some of the negative things I can say that I've experienced in my own time, which is not even quite a year with this company. But there's a lot more positive things, I think, than negative when I look at things now. I think the most positive thing that I could not see at the time that we were outsourced, because I had such a negative reaction to the whole experience, is the fact that my job is now portable. And it's kind of like the Southwest Airline ads used to say, you're now free to roam about the country or move about the country. And that's true for me. I can live anywhere I want to, as long as I have high-speed internet access, and I can work for the company, continuing my same job. We made the decision to move to Brandon, Florida, which is where my family lives now, my mom, brother, and nephew. And we moved in March, and that's a really positive thing, to be able to be closer to family again after so many years. And I unpacked my work computer, plugged it in, and first day I started working, there were those Nashville doctors dictating, and that's a really positive thing that it took me a long time to see as a positive thing. Another positive thing is that they figure your hourly rate, and I don't know what formula they use for this, it's based on your production, every 6 months, and this is the rate that you're paid for your paid time off. The paid time off is not as generous, of course, as the hospital, but I was there for 20 years, so I had quite a generous paid time off rate, but as far as accumulating hours. But I get paid more for my time off at MedQuest, because the last rate that I got was $6 more an hour than I was making at the hospital. So when you got paid for your time off at the hospital, you didn't get any kind of incentive pay. You just got your base hourly rate. So this is a more positive thing for me. And the last positive thing that I'll bring up in this podcast is the fact that it's very frustrating at times to type these unfamiliar accounts and become accustomed to how everything's done and the various dictators and their styles. But the positive side to that is that I really have a lot more confidence now than I did a year ago when all this started. That I do feel now that I can work for any company out there that I choose to work for. As long as the platform works well with speech, I can work for them. So, I did not feel this way a year ago, but these various experiences that I've had, while there have been some negative things about them, they have given me a lot more confidence that I can do this for any company. And that's good for me psychologically also. This has been a great career for me. I have been extremely satisfied with it. I have never regretted choosing it, and I've never had the desire to do anything different. I feel like I do a good job, and I perform a small thing in society that's necessary, but each little stitch that we add makes the pattern that makes our society what it is. And I feel a deep sense of satisfaction and accomplishment when I feel like I've done a good day's work. And that's important to me, just like the pay is. Now, I wouldn't work without pay, but it's important to me psychologically to have that sense of accomplishment. And I always think of a quote that I like from Margaret Thatcher that kind of explains how I feel about that. When she said, "Look at a day when you are supremely satisfied at the end. It's not a day when you lounge around doing nothing. It's when you've had everything to do and you've done it. And I do love that feeling of having accomplished something of value at the end of the day. So I would recommend this job to anybody who thinks they would like this kind of work. You have to have a tolerance for routine, and you have to be self-disciplined and be a self-starter. And I don't know what the future is, because there's a lot of work going into voice or speech recognition these days, and they definitely are trying to perfect it to the best of their ability, so I don't know where that leaves us in the long run. But at this point, they know they're never going to get the doctors to do it right. They're never going to get them to train with something like drag and dictate and dictate things correctly. So what they do is they just have the speech recognition program interpret a piece of dictation with everything the doctor says, much of which doesn't need to be in the report, because they give introductions that don't need to be in the actual report. And then they have an editor go through and fix the mess that the doctor and the speech recognition created. So I'm sure they'll get it perfected, but I don't know any kind of timeline as far as how many years it'll be until it starts cutting into medical transcription jobs. But I know there are online schools that train. I know one is the Andrews School, and there's a lady named Kathy Melton who does training. And so you could look them up online if you want to find out more about it, or join the Sightless MT list and discuss it with everybody on that list. One thing you might want to consider is to check into some companies you think you might want to work for, and see if they have any affiliations with particular schools, because that might help you get that first job. I think MedQuist did and may still have affiliations with some schools, but I don't really know what they are. I think that's all I had to say on this podcast, and it feels good to get the first one out of the way, because it's a little bit difficult to do sit down and do the first one, but maybe the next one will be easier. I'm going to give my email address, and if anybody wants to ask any questions or anything like that, feel free to write. My email address is earlybird, earlybird, at tampabay.rr.com. Tampa Bay is TampaBay. And I have certainly enjoyed all the podcasts that everybody has contributed to Larry's site. I thank Larry and everybody else for sharing so much with all of us. It's been fun to get to know you guys a little bit through the podcasts and messages to the BCT list. And I will be hopefully back to do a more relaxed podcast in the future. And I'm glad the first one's over. Take care, and thanks for listening.